Hey, and welcome to the Silly with the Wiggins. My name is Mitch. With me, as always, is Brad.
Hello.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
It's been a long while. There's a lot of things that have happened.
Yeah, things got a little out of control, and we put it off a week, and then we put it off another week, and lo and behold, it's been weeks and weeks.
I think weeks and weeks are called months.
Yeah, I think it's stretched into at least 2 months.
Yeah, we haven't been good, but that's okay, because we have so many things to talk about that we're just going to be extra special today.
Yeah, this is kind of going to be an in-between seasons show. It's wrapping up our summer outdoor season with the Lions and the Fire and Ice, and leading into the indoor season with Piesaw and Ambush. So just kind of a catch-up on where we are with the St. Luligans right now.
So do we want to start at the end, or do we want to start at the beginning?
Let's
start at the beginning, because okay. The end was pretty awesome.
Okay.
Okay, so I guess we'll start with the Lion season. That's probably the best one to start with since they ended first.
Sure. They, if you just look at, on paper, not great. 4 wins, 7 losses, three draws, total of 15 points. But they finished 5th in their division, and going into the last game of the season, they still had a chance to qualify for the U.S. Open Cup. So, I mean...
Well, the reason they could qualify is because one of the teams higher up...
Thunder Bay was running away with the division.
But they're Canadian. And would not be in the U.S. Cup.
Right. So
even though they are the 51st state, they just don't know it yet.
That's right. We could have had a nice little run, and we could have gotten into U.S. Open Cup. I think that would have made all the problems of the season disappear. But unfortunately, didn't work out that way.
No, we had, and I think we had a really good chance at it.
Yeah,
it was, and for the most, on the table.
For most part, the games we saw at home were really entertaining.
Well, let's actually just start with the idea that it wasn't 108 degrees.
Yeah,
I mean, that
made
was a big
difference.
Improvement.
Yeah,
not dying on aluminum bleachers is a massive improvement from last season alone.
Yeah, the boys played their hearts out at home. You know, obviously, we only made the one road trip this year, but from everything I heard, they kind of got the raw end of the deal officiating. We know PDL officiating is not good anywhere.
I mean, fourth division is going to be bad,
right?
It's fourth division refereeing as well. However, that being said, it was worse than fourth division.
Yeah, it was pretty awful.
I think the 12-year-olds that do my 8-year-old son's game do better on a lot of these calls.
Yeah.
I mean, they just, it was awful. It was,
well, and it's inconsistent. I mean, you know, when you get red cards for simple tackles.
Are you talking about the Arsenal game?
Yeah, let's ignore that for the time being. But no, I mean, inconsistency, but it is what it is. The guys have to learn how to play with that. It's hard to tell a guy to play hard, and then you go into a slide tackle and take somebody out, and 1 minute there's no call, the next minute there's, you know, a straight red.
And I think that's the hard part, too, is that you could make the same tackle 3 times in a row.
Right.
And you're going to get different response from the ref every time. And that was probably, as the Luligans, that was probably our biggest frustration, was that you could have the same guy make the same play 2 times and have different outcomes.
Right.
And that's just...
So that's got to be hard for the guys. But overall, I thought they played well. They played hard. Again, the season comes up short. Not much we can really say about that. It is what it is. We need to get better.
Well, let's go ahead, too, and make mention of who our Luligan Player of the Year was. That's worth mentioning.
Noah Fizakis was the keeper. He was on one of our shows.
No goal patrol was his comment back then.
Yeah, we hated him after that comment, but but he went on to redeem himself. He played well all season.
I would say better than well.
Oh, yeah.
I mean let's be honest.
Without Noah, we would have really been in trouble.
There was, and he helped control the defense, too, as well, which was one of those things that, you know, if you're looking, most people don't see, but if you're looking at it,
right,
you
no.
see him.
He was directing traffic back there, and
he wasn't just the typical crazy American goalie. He had some semblance of control. So that was a great thing. Congratulations to Noah. Quite proud of him. Was very much so the MVP of the team through and through. I mean he carried the team and did a great job, and he's no Love Grove.
No. Yeah. Dino played a good season. Johnny had a good season. Somebody I really liked who didn't get a lot of playing time was Jeff McClure.
I thought he was fantastic.
I actually was a proponent of his for Luligan Player of the Year because every time he came on the field, he made a difference out there.
Well, and he was a forward playing defense.
Right.
Which, I mean,
continues to be a thing with the Lions. They play guys out of their normal position. I don't know if Tony's trying to develop skills that they don't have or what, but sometimes it does leave you scratching your head. This guy obviously could control a ball, had pace, had skill on the ball, but they stick him back at wing. So, without having Tony here to ask him that, there's not much point to really even discuss it, I guess.
And he's coach. It's his team.
So yeah, no.
You know, he sees something that we don't. That's on him, and that's fine. But, no, Jeff had a great season. We did see some excitement out of some of the younger guys coming through. Speaking of the younger guys, we had history made with the Lions.
Yeah, probably the best, heartwarming story of the year, whatever you want to call it.
Would it be like a Frank Cusimano type story that
yeah.
you're going to tell here?
Yeah, this would definitely be on that segment of the news. Kyle Weinrich has been a Tony Glavine player up through the system. Got to get into the PDL game, the last game of the season in Des Moines. And actually, I think it was within 30 seconds of checking into the game, got his first goal. And it is believed that he is the youngest player ever to score in the PDL system. So,
and it was a hell of a strike, too.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like a garbage goal. He drove the shit out.
No, it was a nice touch and put it away.
Yeah, I don't remember who fed him, but they, you know, deserve part of that credit, too, is that they had the vision to see him open. He made himself open. I believe his parents have put the video up on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's worth looking up if you haven't seen it because it's cool to see. I mean, it's you're seeing what can happen when you have a system in place and you can work the kids up through the system.
Well, and that's our hope that, I mean, this is one of the first guys that's made it through from Glavine to the Lions. We hope that starts to develop that chain of custody from 5-year-old kid all the way up through PDL where these kids are playing in a system and they grow up in that system and actually pays off for the Lions, you know, and for the kids.
Well, and that's been the promise and the selling point the whole time is that we can have this kind of thing happen and it's finally come to mature. Right.
In addition to bringing in talented players from other places, we're growing our own and
in theory, it's going to make it the best scenario possible. You have your own, you have brought in. You can have a team start to have some real success.
And some consistency. I mean,
yeah, and that's going to be a big part of it because something that we saw at the beginning of the year, especially on the road when we took the road trip down to Springfield, was that you see the guys still not getting used to each other.
Yeah.
That there's, in the PDL, it seems to be a problem, especially for the Lions in their circumstance, where you're bringing in guys from college where their college days aren't quite done yet, where they're coming in from other teams, whatever the case may be, and it takes 2 to 3 games of, you know, practicing every day for a couple weeks to have a, you know, in-game action to get to know each other out there. Right. And hopefully we'll start to see, you know, by bringing these guys up through the system that they're going to have a familiarity.
Right.
That they can make those plays and develop.
They can go off to college, but when they come back, they'll know some of these guys.
Precisely.
And while we're there, let's go ahead and say there's, and I didn't write it down, so I'm sorry, but there's two kids that went from the Glavine system over to Glasgow, lived for a week in the Celtic Academy. They, lived the life, basically. They took classes. They woke up in the morning, went to training, you know, went to classes, went to lunch, came back, did more training, really got to experience the academy system at Celtic. So, I mean, that's a good thing. It can only mean good things for the team in the future. More kids get this opportunity. This is why we affiliated with Celtic, or part of the reason why we affiliated with Celtic anyway.
Well, and actually one of the I pulled up on the Soccer Made in St. Louis website.
Yeah, Dave Lang owns that.
Yeah, we're good friends with Dave. It's a good thing to have around here. Trey Haman, I guess, Haman, and Will Flaherty. So there's high school sophomores. That Tony recommended to go over.
So, yeah, imagine being a sophomore in high school and getting that opportunity.
Sophomore in high school, I was looking for the opportunity to drive a car.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're going to a global club.
And there was a little article in the Post-Dispatch about it. These kids said the first thing they noticed was the sheer speed the game's being played over there. It's on a different level. So getting a little exposure to that, then, you know, hopefully they'll bring that back with them.
Yeah, and that's one of the great things, too, is that these guys get an experience that they can bring back and everybody gets to benefit from. And that's what we really hope in the long haul, is that the more of our St. Louis kids that get these kind of experiences, the whole system, the whole environment benefits.
Yeah. And also as part of this relationship, not only do we send a couple kids over there, Celtic sends coaches over. They already did the camp, I believe, the 1 or 2 week camp where Celtic coaches actually come into St. Louis and spend some time with our kids and teach them some different ways of doing things. So hopefully this relationship continues to grow and we both benefit from it.
And that's one thing worth mentioning, too, is that, you know, if your kid's not in the Glavin system, keep an eye on their information, because a lot of their things are open to people outside the club.
Yeah, this camp was open. You just had to register for
it. Right. So it's not you have to be a member of the Tony Glavin Soccer Club. You can be at, you know, Sporting STL or wherever. You know, you can be at a different club and participate. And again, everybody benefits from the work of small.
Sure. I will say, I mean, that's pretty much our wrap-up on the Lions season. Again, not finishing where we want on the field. Off the field, you know, we had a few issues. We're going to hopefully work through those and hope for a better year next year. And, again, we want everybody to come out and support your local outdoor team. But on the men's side, and that's the St. Louis Lions.
Well, the men's side, you say that like we're going to talk about the women's side.
We've got something to talk about on the women's side.
And we have Erica Todd Baptist here with us.
Yeah, holla.
Actually, she's not here, but you wouldn't know the difference whether or not she was here because she spends the entire time on her phone.
Yeah, and talking off the mic.
That's right.
So,
love you.
Yeah, just kidding, Erica.
Nope. But Erica is one of the coaches for the women's team, the Fire and Ice, who had a fantastic inaugural season.
Yep, first season playing. They played over in Columbia, Illinois, in the WPSL. That's basically the second division of women's soccer in the United States. And in their first season, they won the Midwest Regional Championship. So good for them. They were one game away from the Final Four, which, you know, for your first year in the league, pretty amazing.
Well, and not only that, but you look at the first year in the league and a lot of the players and the coach, Lindsay Kennedy Evesmeyer, were well rewarded for their efforts this year.
Yep. Lindsay won Coach of the Year. The first team WPSL Midwest included Gayla Foster and Jesse Crabtree, both of whom were on the podcast.
The Great Britneys.
And Rachel Tejada, also on that first team. And Rachel Tejada got all WPSL team nationwide, I believe.
She had a hell of a season.
Basically, anytime you looked at her, she was scoring.
Yeah.
she had a great season.
Yeah, and again, I think that's a great testament to the entire team as well, because, you know, their season was short. It was only 4 games at home.
Right.
And, I mean, you watched them, and they play fantastically as a team. It's a team effort. It's
Lindsay really did a lot of hard work. And Erica and Samuel and Juice, also, you know, part of that coaching staff, they were ready. They hit the ground running.
And not only running, but sprinting.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't just, okay, well, let's get out there and see what we got going on. It was, fuck you, we're taking it to you.
Yeah, and a lot of work in the off season. I mean, I know she had some of her girls together for a preseason indoor tournament. Things like that definitely help build that chemistry. I mean, you were saying it with the Lions. Sometimes these guys, it's actually the first game of the season, and they're just meeting each other.
Right.
She took the time to get some of these girls together. I know they did training together. Off the field training.
Right, the exercise
CrossFit stuff. And these girls really bonded well.
And their fitness was high when they came in, too. And I think that really showed, especially in that first game, that they ran circles around the opposition right off the bat. And now it's also going to help, too, because I know Lindsay and Erica are now the coaches at Harris Stowe.
Right.
Which is here in town. So
they have a great first year to build off of. Kids looking to play in the league will have heard of Fire and Ice.
And that was also one of the great things, too, that's worth mentioning from a personal perspective, is that being at the games and you see us having a good time, which, you know, yeah, we're our own creature and we understand we're not a beast for everybody. You saw a lot of families, which is...
They had big crowds out there.
Huge crowds. But the other thing that you saw, too, was that you saw a lot of little girls wearing their jerseys with hope in their eyes that these, you know, this is somebody for them to look up to. They have somewhere to go.
Lindsay did a lot of things right off the field. She really catered to all kinds of fans. She
gave us our own section.
She gave the Lulugans their own section. She came on our podcast a couple times.
She does have our banner hostage.
Yeah. but she also went to the soccer tournaments, the young girls tournaments. I know she gave out free tickets, encouraged, you know, families to come out. You know, she did
a shit ton of sponsors.
Did a lot of legwork with sponsors. I mean, I think she had 30-some sponsors.
37 in a row.
They did... Clark's joke, in case you missed it. They did after-game parties where they encouraged the fans to come out to the little local restaurant.
The first thing was is that as soon as the game was over, the first thing the girls did was go over to the fans.
Every time, come over to the fans. The team spent a lot of time signing autographs, taking pictures. I mean, saw lots of little kids with, you know, stars in their eyes getting their pictures taken with these girls.
And the thing is that that's a huge thing. It can't be stated enough how far that goes, not only to build the club, to build the long term, but to build the next generation.
Yeah.
You know, it's great to have that involvement. I know Lindsay has a heavy involvement with the local clubs. That, you know, she has her own club plus other ones, but you're building a legacy to keep building upon.
Yeah.
It's not just about this year. It's about next year and the year afterwards. And if you're not out there shaking the hands and crediting the people that come and spend their money and their time and effort, you're not building anything. Your foundation is shit.
Now, she's planning for the long term. She's taking fans into account. She's taking players into account. I mean, I don't want to be mean, but I mean, the Lions could learn some things from how Lindsay handled her business off the field.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things, too, is that sometimes it takes that young blood, that new...
I think that's probably a lot of it. I mean, you get into a rut, you get into a routine. The Lions have been there for a while. Lindsay's got new energy. You know, the Lions need some new energy. I know they're shorthanded. You know, we lost Michael. But one, get one, Michael, if you're listening. But, you know, you got to have that sense of vitality, that sense of urgency, the hustle. I mean, that's what it came down to. We always talked about how Lindsay was always hustling. I mean,
yeah, she burned some calories.
Yeah, I mean, when we'd have our little tailgate parties for Fire and Ice, she'd send one of the coaches over to thank us for coming. And, you know, I mean, little things like that where, you know, she's taking an interest in all aspects of her team.
But it builds up a legacy. It builds up a foundation. And the other thing is, too, is that and this is something that you're seeing with soccer. We were talking about it earlier when we saw a commercial for MLS and NBC having the commercials with Jason Sudeikis with the EPL.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that soccer is no longer the game it used to be 20 years ago. It's not 50-year-old guys running, telling people what to do, and there's a small select group that run everything. It's now a young person's game. It's the kids that are playing. It's the hipsters at the bar. It's fat assholes like us who use the internet, who use Twitter, who use Facebook, who update web pages, who do podcasts.
Right.
It's a different world. You don't go on a radio station to promote something where all they do is talk about Fulham the time that you're on. You come on a podcast because people can listen to it when they want.
And Lindsay did use social media well, promoted the hell out of her team, and I think it showed. I think, you know, in the crowds and in the enthusiasm of the crowds and whipping people up into,
excitement,
get them out here for this game. It's really important.
Well, and it was great, too, because then at the end when they were going to Houston
for the
tournament, what do? They need to have a little fundraiser. So, you know, here they have a little camp. They have
invited everybody out to come out and watch. And
Channel 5 came out and videotaped it, put it on the news, even though it took them 2 or 3 times to get it right.
Yeah.
But that's the point. You know, it's like they can, you know, there's really a lot of hustle. It's important. Things are happening. This is what we want and need.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Fire and Ice were featured on local news 3 or 4 times this year. I mean, once before the season, once during the season, and then during that tournament after the season, for sure. And that's Lindsay hustling. That's Lindsay calling calling around, getting anybody she can out to watch practice or do a story on one of the girls. So
yeah, points to them. It's going to be an exciting season next year.
And also next year, hopefully we'll have St. Louis City Defenders, the other team that was supposed to start this year but couldn't get it together in time. So that'd be nice if we have a nice home-and-home derby situation with, you know, Missouri side versus Illinois side. And I think a lot of the Luligans have already put their eggs in the fire and ice basket because they were so good to us this year. But no.
You can't piss on hospitality.
You can't piss on hospitality. And the Britneys were awesome to us. And so, yeah, we encourage you to support them next year. If you didn't get a chance this year to go out and see, you're thinking women's soccer, or maybe I don't want to go see women's soccer. It was exciting, offensive.
Fundamentally sound.
Yeah, everything about it was great. And they're doing things right out there. And they love the Luligans. They, I mean, actually, they're made a Midwest season or Midwest regional championship T-shirt to celebrate this year.
Which you can buy. Go to their website to find out.
And they even put the Luligan logo on the back. So, you know.
Well, to be honest, you did design it.
Well, it's not so much a design. It's we put their logo on the front and our logo on the back and said they're great. But no, I mean, little things like that to show your pride. They had lots of merchandise available. Like you said, kids wearing the jerseys, T-shirts. I mean, it was nice to be out there.
And can coolies. You got a pink can coolie.
I got a koozie, and they had scarves. So they're doing things right. And I'd encourage you to support them next season. And as always, follow us on Facebook and Twitter to find out everything that's going on with not only the St. Louis Lions and the Fire and Ice.
But also what's going on with the indoor teams coming up in November.
That's where we go. We stand now. We're in between seasons.
This is the hard part.
St. Louis outdoor season's over. Most of us St. Louligans are outdoor fans. I mean, that's just what it is. Indoor is a different beast. Fun to go to. We can have fun. Fun to play. But we're not your typical indoor fans. But we are going to go out and support, as always, the Illinois Piasaw.
The Piasaw season starts in November, like we said. The big news out of the Piasaw, the exciting part, they're no longer in the
Sports Chalet.
Sports Chalet, yes. they are back in their original stomping grounds.
Soccer for fun.
It's not soccer for fun anymore.
I know, but I'm still going to call it soccer. It's the field, I believe, is the new name.
Which has new glass. And basically, it's very fan-friendly compared to the way it used to be. But the most exciting part is that it's very Luligan-friendly.
Yeah, they've repainted the area. I think our area, they painted green and white.
Yes.
So
yeah, they're asking for our input on beer, which...
I don't know why. Why would we care?
It's not a good sign. It's really not a good sign. We do hope that there's a boat for us to use outside again like there was
if you got to have a boat in international water if you want anything to happen. Matt and Lindsay
busting ass to, you know, do the right things make
and
it happen.
Again, taking care of us, want the Luligans there, want it to be part of it. We will have, hopefully, as we get closer to the season, I'd like to have a whole podcast dedicated to Piasaw.
I'm sure we will.
Get Matt, Lindsay, maybe a player or two on. And while we're talking about indoor, the other big news in St. Louis, the Ambush are back.
They're going to be playing out in St. Charles at the Family Arena.
And we also want to have a podcast with them. Somebody from their office maybe come out and talk about what's going on there. They did tweet me. They said lots of announcements are coming out in the next couple of weeks. Got more tryouts going on. They've got going to have player signings. They are hitting everywhere around town. I mean, they were at the Dome for the big game. They were out at the Lions. They were at the Fire and Ice.
They've been at a lot of the tournaments. They were at the St. Paul tournament.
The local tournaments. So they're really making a push to get back into the community's awareness. So good luck to them.
At first, I wasn't real certain about bringing back the Ambush name. You know, after the Steamers brought back, or the second or third go-round, I was like, oh, well. But they're doing it right. They're using the same color scheme.
Yeah.
Daryl Duran is back as the coach, which at this point in time, you pretty much have to assume that if you have a high visibility indoor team, he's going to be the coach or the player or something. I'm pretty certain that at age 70, we'll see Daryl behind a bench and putting himself in a game if he has.
Well, sure, sure.
And probably have two goals. So
I think he said he's not going to play, but yeah, let's see.
We'll see what happens.
Come crunch time, what shoes he's wearing before the match. So
yeah, it would be great to see him just stand up, rip off the suit like a Superman.
That would be awesome. So, again, We are planning on having a whole podcast dedicated to the ambush, a whole podcast dedicated to the Piesaw. If you like indoor soccer, there's going to be plenty for you to see either out in St. Charles or across the river to see the Piesaw, and encourage it. We always have fun at the Piesaw. Probably not going to do season tickets to the ambush myself, but I am interested in going to a couple of games. I know some of the guys are getting season tickets. Some of them, like me, are going to do group buy. And really, it's we're going to have to see when the schedules come out, how it conflicts with Piesaw. You know, I'd like to hit a mix of both games.
Yeah, I do think, and understandably, the rent is high at St. Charles Family Arena.
It's going to be more
too damn high. The rent is too damn high.
It's going to be more expensive to go see the ambush, but
it's also a bigger facility. It's going to have a few more amenities.
And technically, it's a higher level in the indoor pyramid than PASL.
Right. And so, you know, that played into it for me. I couldn't afford to do season tickets at that price point.
Right, right.
But like you said, we'll try to get a couple group games together. I think it'd be a good time to just show up in mass and kind of
we've made a couple connections people. With the team. I think we can arrange, you know, a Luligan group buy, and we'll let you know on Facebook and Twitter when those things are going to happen. If you just want to maybe not want to do season tickets, but you want to tag along with the group when we go.
Still got a couple months left, so yep. There's plenty of time. So we've got
One more thing before we...
Oh, fine. Interrupt me, jerk.
I am. The other interesting thing about this is the MISL, which the ambush is part of, is...
Rock and Jock scoring.
Rock and Jock scoring. That's one thing we don't like about the MISL, but we'll move past that for the moment.
We'll talk about it when they come on.
Exactly. They're part of the USL structure. Which obviously the Lions are USL PDL. Then you got the USL Pros, the next level up. When we know the USL Pros working with MLS in a reserve capacity. So the Lions and the Ambush have forged some kind of partnership. You know, they're under that USL umbrella. Not sure exactly how that's going to work, but it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. You know, we might get some Lions players playing indoor in the off season. We might have some Ambush players playing for the Lions. It'll be interesting to see how this relationship grows.
Yeah, and that was something that we had talked about earlier while we were watching the Arsenal game today. How did that go?
Shut up.
And I did look up on U.S. Soccer's website, and if I understand it correctly, is that a amateur player, so let's say we'll pick on...
All Noah. The Lions are amateur players.
So we'll pick on Noah, for example.
Okay.
So let's say Noah, being a goalkeeper, wants to play indoor soccer during the off season, he can play with them as long as he doesn't have a year contract.
Yeah.
So like if he did a month-to-month or a weekly contract or however they phrase it, and then when that's over, he applies to be an amateur again, which it sounds like it's just sends in a form, says, hey,
well, and I'm sure there's some kind of weirdness because you're also got to take in the NCAA rules.
Right.
College may not play the same way. So, I mean, we'll ask these questions when we get the ambush
Maybe
on here.
Johnny Brown would have been a better example to use since he's out of college.
Right.
He played with the Lions.
Right.
And he's about the right height to not get over the boards.
So these are some questions we'll ask both Matt, you know, with the PASL. And whoever we have on from the ambush will ask these questions. So if you're an indoor fan, look forward to more coverage. Probably won't do after every game like we did with the Lions, but we will do some more coverage of the indoor
season. We really didn't do it after every
Well, we tried to do every 2 weeks with the Lions.
Yeah,
so.
And then the problem was is that, something's coming up in a couple days. We'll wait till after that.
Yeah.
And then we'd be sick or drunk. For both.
As it was. But anyway, so more about indoor coming soon.
So back to what I was going to say before you reminded me of what I missed.
Sorry.
No, it's all good. Good job. We've got a little bit of an off season here. This is the hard time for us. You know, basically once August rolls around, we got nothing until November. Obviously, there's a lot of people, you know, watching the EPL today and the other professional leagues have started. But the big news is that come October in Kansas City, there's going to be a USA friendly.
That's right. Ryan wanted me to mention that the American Outlaws are taking that Kansas City trip. And for $240, if you're an Outlaws member, which if you're not, you can go to American Outlaws website and sign up to become a member. Or I think it was only $250 if you're not a member. You get a bus trip to Kansas City, hotel room, ticket to the game. And basically, the American Outlaws are taking care of everything. They've got a party set up the night before the game. They've got a big tailgate, you know, the bus trip there, the bus trip back.
It's a big deal.
It's and for $240, $250, that's not a whole lot of money for a weekend of entertainment.
Oh, just filling up your gas tank going to Kansas City and back is going to be $80, $90, depending on your car.
And you get to go with a group of dedicated fans.
Who are drinking.
And who are drinking. And, you know, if you've never been to a USA game or, you know, hey, just watch one on TV. You'll see the Outlaws.
You'll hear
the Outlaws. I mean, they're really taking the supporters culture thing and amping it up for the USA. So,
and they're playing Jamaica.
Playing Jamaica. Game. So yeah, I encourage everybody. First of all, I've never been there, but Livestrong Sporting Park. Well, it's not Livestrong anymore. It's just Sporting Park, but it's a beautiful facility. With the Outlaws, it's going to be a great time. If you need more information about that, you can message us on Facebook or on Twitter. And we'll get you the link to that.
Yeah, and American Outlaws, it's AOSTL on Twitter.
On Twitter, yeah.
So it's easy enough to find. It's going to be a great time. I know
the money. Brian wanted me to remind you guys the money is due September 1st to reserve your get your ticket and reserve your spot on the bus and hotel rooms and all that stuff. So
speaking of American Outlaws throwing down.
American Outlaws, great guys. Our relationship is getting better every chance we get.
No.
But we're starting to do more things together.
Didn't we do something with them just recently?
We did.
It was like a large facility downtown.
Yes.
We went to the brewery.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it smelled like a brewery. I believe the last podcast we were just talking about the Real and Inter game that went ahead and happened.
It was huge.
Had a nice tailgate with the St. Luligans and American Outlaws came down and joined us.
First, let's go ahead and credit Eric Bonita. And Jason Petrillo.
A lot of guys got there early and really set up shop.
Not necessarily the best location in terms of getting to.
It's hard to get to, but...
Once we did, we owned it.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I'd probably say there was close to 7,500 people together.
Met a lot of great new people.
A lot of new people, a lot of new scarves. American Outlaws did a lot of good.
We did the
Prince sold a lot of the shirts.
Yeah, we did the MLS and STL hashtag shirts.
Which they are going to do another run of. So look on eBay for Adrenaline Prince. They're selling the shirts again.
Yeah, if you just search for Luligans on eBay, it'll bring it up. There was a knockoff one out there. The real ones are made by Adrenaline Prince. Do not order them unless they're from Adrenaline Prince.
Yeah, we'll make sure we get a link up on our website and on our Facebook pretty soon for them. So keep a heads up on that. But
So big thanks to American Outlaws. And also, while we're talking about American Outlaws, we're talking about how great Ryan's doing with the club. They have all their USA watch parties for the games that they're not taking a road trip to at Amsterdam Tavern. So if you're looking for a place to watch a USA game, you want to do it with American Outlaws, St. Louis,
place to be.
Amsterdam. And
it sounds like the Dam just opened up
a restaurant
next door.
Yeah.
It's called the Dam.
Right. So yeah, I was a little confused at first, but I think it is right next door. Yes, and you can bring the food over to the bar side. So.
Which was the big knock that they didn't have food, but now they have food.
Well, and also space. So that'll be nice because Amsterdam's, I mean, if you go there during a big match, it's packed.
The tents outside.
Yeah. I mean, it's wall to wall people. So actually, it'd be nice to have a little more room even next door. But I wanted to mention American Outlaws. We want to support them as much as they support us. There are rumors, speaking of American Outlaws, speaking of the Team USA.
They're going to rob a train.
They're going to rob a train. Outlaws? Yes. No, a couple weeks ago, there were rumors going around that St. Louis might get a U.S. men's national team friendly. And then there were rumors that maybe it was a women's national team friendly. And then there were rumors that, well, we don't know, but there's going to be some. I mean, St. Louis became a hot spot. Two games
why
this
would,
year.
Why did we become a hot spot?
We had two friendlies this summer.
104,000 seats sold.
Exactly.
Wait,
so
you know what? Let's stop before we go to the American Outlaws part.
Okay.
Let's talk about that real quick.
Okay.
We posted something recently on Facebook that's worth mentioning. The
top 25
attendance games in the United States. Number 8 was this Inter Real game. However, number 8. That was for a friendly. There was one friendly above. It was a Mexico friendly in
right,
Texas.
Right.
So that's pretty much a home game.
Right. The others were Gold Cup games.
But not only that, 5 of those games, doubleheaders.
Right, right.
And that was the thing that really kind of pissed me off on that list because it's like you can't count a doubleheader as an attendance.
Right.
It's per game. If you take that out, all of a sudden we jump up to like third.
Right.
Only behind places like, I think Seattle and Portland was on there, and there was an LA game on there that was at the Rose Bowl. When you're looking at us, we have no MLS team. We have no professional team, period, outdoor.
Right.
And yeah. We're selling those kind of numbers? You can kiss my ass, Don Garber. Give us our team.
Well, and let's be fair to Don Garber. I think Don Garber would give us a team if we had an owner.
Well, let's find an owner that lives somewhere else. Take Chivas USA, rebrand them, put them in house.
All right. They're
in trouble again.
Let's save that discussion for a little while longer. We got some questions.
American Outlaws. Let's go.
Anyway.
So they're going to have a game here. Sorry.
So, yeah. United States played Bosnia-Herzegovina in Bosnia, in Sarajevo, and America won. Hat trick by Jozy Altidore. Josimir Altidore.
Josimir?
Yes. And somebody was saying the other day, he's almost to the status where he just needs Jozy on his jersey.
I'm good.
Just drop
that.
The Altidore.
Yeah, just Jozy.
You're just Jozy. But anyway, rumors started spreading on Twitter that the same company that brought the two friendlies to St. Louis, both at the Busch Stadium and at the Dome, are trying to arrange if Bosnia and the United States make it to the World Cup, which as of right now they're both scheduled to do, barring some collapse by either team.
Which is not out of the
realm. Well, it could happen, but they'd like to do a USA friendly here in St. Louis against Bosnia, a rematch.
Are there any Bosnians that live in St. Louis?
There are a few, as it may be. There are quite a few Bosnians in St. Louis, and I think it would be great. So if and when that happens, I'm going to encourage all the Luligans, let's join up with American Outlaws and let's make this a big day for them. They came out, made it a big day for us, for the friendly.
Let's go flip mode.
Let's go flip mode. Everybody support American Outlaws. And American Outlaws, they do things right when it comes to national team games. They will have a section, which has been a big complaint of ours with these friendlies. They haven't blocked off a section so we could all sit together. We'll all be able to sit together with the American Outlaws. So I'm going to advise us all to...
We might even leave the Luligan scarves at home those days.
Let's
just be Merkins.
Let's be Merkins. Let's wear our USA jerseys and let's buy American Outlaws scarves or USA scarves. And let's go all America if this happens.
If it's cold out, can I wear a USA hockey jersey?
You could do that if you want. A sweater.
Oh, yeah. Jim Craig.
So, I mean, I'm sure, well, maybe we should talk to Ryan. Maybe he doesn't want us sitting with him.
You guys go sit with the Bosnians.
Yeah, well, it could be. We could do that. But yeah, if that happens, that's going to be great. Another great day for St. Louis and another great day for American Outlaws. So
America. Okay, wow, we're covering like some massive ground.
We're going through this.
So let's get back for a second to the ticket sales, the MLS, St. Louis.
Yeah, I'll just throw this out there now. No Twitter Tim on Twitter. His handle is No Twitter Tim. Wanted to talk about MLS potential for St. Louis.
So are we now into Ask Mitch and Brad?
Well, because I think you want to talk about the ticket sales.
I said, are we into Ask Mitch and Brad?
Yes, it's Ask Mitch and Brad.
Who's sponsoring it this week?
We'll
go Adrenaline Prince again.
Adrenaline Prince.
Because they did such a badass job with those t-shirts.
The t-shirts were awesome. It was a hashtag. Part of that was St. Louis Soccer Alliance. Steve Rusnak's group came up with the hashtag MLS in STL.
Who did that graphic?
Steve asked me to help him come up with the graphic.
I'm so proud of you, little Brad.
I think it looks kind of cool. It's very cool. It's my typical style. Take an existing logo and rip it off and use it. Change the colors, change it a little bit, and make it ours.
Hey, it works. It's worked several times over, so
right. So we did the t-shirts. Ryan and Amanda, as previously mentioned, from Adrenaline Prints, made the t-shirts. We painted a couple banners, had those hanging at the dome and at the tailgate.
One of them was on ground level.
Jody and Cody.
Jesse
and Cody.
Oh, she's going to stab you. She's got ginger rage.
Let's just start calling them Jody now. Like Brangelina. Yeah. They're Jody.
Jody. Cosi.
Kessie.
They were basically front row.
Yeah.
And it was on screen on TV several times.
Yeah, it was kind of neat. Yeah. The only unfortunate part was it cut off the hashtag with the advertising hoardings going around.
It had our
had the St. Lilligans on there.
That's important thing. But you know, if people found it that way, that works too. I know that there were attempts to put several other signs up, but they got told no.
Yeah. So cool.
Yeah.
Glad they let us do that. And
yeah. No, it was a great. It was great respect out there. I mean,
met a lot of new people because of that hashtag campaign. Got them to come out to the tailgate. Bought shirts.
Bought scarves. Had a few beers. Had a good time. We've been getting a lot of attention on the website.
Yeah.
On the Twitter.
On the Twitter.
Facebook. Where, you know, it seems to be working pretty well. So it's something worth keeping up here. So the question was, what are our chances with MSL or MLS?
I mean, sadly,
it's one thing and one thing only at this point.
I think since 1996, the league has wanted a team in St. Louis. It would be a perfect rival for Kansas City and Chicago. Perfect.
And Columbus, even.
And Columbus. Perfect, you know, central location. Soccer history in St. Louis is you know.
The support is there, obviously.
The support is there. I mean, we only had 1 year of NASL. And that was supported rather well, considering the limited marketing they did, and the fact that basically by halfway through the season we knew the jig was up, and that team was gonna fold.
I mean, they had no preseason to hype it. It was basically, hey, there's a season in a month, and we're going.
And then they, you know, the rumors, you know, started. You know, they couldn't play players. They let Ralston go. You know, it got ugly there. So I mean. Even considering all that, support was good. The team folded, unfortunately. But St. Louis has soccer fans, as these two friendlies show.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm not saying we'd sell 50,000 to every home MLS game, but if we had a 18,000 to 20,000 seat stadium, we would sell well, I think. The problem is...
Wait, well, let's just say one thing real quick, though. Yeah. How awesome is it to tailgate like that?
It's great.
Oh, my God.
It's great.
That was just hot shit.
I mean, for what I remember, it was awesome. I mean, I did time travel, as Rocco says. At a certain point, I woke up in a different place than I was when I fell asleep. If anybody met me on that day and I was a jackass, I'll believe it. But maybe you liked me. I don't know. Hell.
Your wife doesn't think you're funny.
Well, she didn't have a good day, but, you know.
No, I mean, the tailgate, there were several times that I'd be standing there and, yeah, I'd be talking to Ryan or you know, Jack or a lot of guys, and it would just be like, how freaking cool is this?
Yeah.
That's what we can do every time.
Well, and to be fair, that's what we do at St. Louis Lions games, at Fire and Ice games. For those of you who want to come out and experience live soccer but don't necessarily think of fourth division is worth your time, it's not always about the soccer. A lot of it's about the camaraderie, the friendships, and the hanging out with like-minded people and having a good time. But obviously, we would like the next level of soccer. We would like USL Pro. We would like NASL. We would love MLS. But here it is.
Money.
It's all about money. The league has basically stipulated you need three things to get a team. You need an ownership group with deep pockets who's committed.
We'll even go a step further. Not only do you have an ownership group with deep pockets that's committed, but you have to have one central person that's significantly rich.
Right.
They don't want
40 guys with $1 million. They want, you know,
yeah,
one guy with 200
million.
Yeah. Or more.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the big things right now.
Right. Second thing you need is soccer-specific stadium. If not already built, guaranteed, locked in, it's going to be built, you know, by the time you start playing.
Which I think is a difficult thing because without a team, it's hard to get a stadium.
But it's being done. Basically, since Toronto came in, everybody's has a specific stadium, with maybe the exception of Seattle, who they play in the Seahawks Quest Field. It's not a soccer-specific stadium.
They're selling the shit out of it.
But they're selling the shit out of it. They make it work. You know, Portland has a repurposed baseball stadium. Looks great. I mean, you don't have to do it Kansas City style. I mean, beautiful.
Yeah, but that is, let's say, that's the
That's
template.
The goal, yeah.
That's the gold standard.
But, I mean, Orlando's getting their ducks in a row. They've got an ownership group. They've got a stadium plan. that's been voted on.
Approved this week, actually.
I believe. And the other thing you have to have is committed supporters. You've got to prove that you could support the team with the fans. I think St. Louis has shown that.
We're one for three.
Right.
The other two are much harder to hit.
So right now, the league has said at the All-Star game, they took New York 20. We always knew New York City was going to be 20, even though they don't have a stadium plan in place yet.
They don't really have anything.
They've got $100 million.
They've got money. That's it.
New York's franchise fee was $100 million.
Well,
now,
but how much of that was also who was buying it?
Yeah,
let's take that into consideration.
New York's was always going to be $100 million. They said that flat out. Now, the next one is supposed to be $70 million. Unless you're David Beckham. David Beckham gets to buy a team for $25 million. So anyway, let's say they said at the All-Star game they want four expansion teams by, I think it was 2020.
Yeah.
So
Orlando City's.
Let's count Orlando City as done and done. If they don't get one, I will be shocked.
They deserve it. They've done everything perfectly right.
They've built the support. They've got the ownership group. They're working on the stadium.
They're hitting it.
They deserve it.
They're hitting for the cycle.
Team two of four
is Beckham.
It's got to be Beckham, and that's going to be Miami.
Which is a terrible, terrible choice.
We can argue all you want about if it's good business. The league was in Miami. The league left Miami. Beckham wants a team. Beckham's a big name.
And he wants somewhere high profile. He's not getting New York. He's not getting L.A.
You put it in Miami, you can get aging superstars to come play out their career.
It's the glitz and glamour. You can have, you know, Dwayne Wade and
right.
LeBron show up on off days. It's
whether or not they'll get the support. Where they put the stadium is key. You know, if they put it on South Beach,
they might
you know,
as well actually put it on the beach, make it beach soccer. Eric Cantona can come play.
Who knows? But let's just, Beckham's going to get one of the four teams.
So now you're down to two.
Even if Beckham decides not to do Miami, Beckham's not doing St. Louis.
Yeah.
So we've got a shot at one of the other two.
The only way that we have a chance with Beckham's team is that if he gets a second L.A. team and they move Chivas here.
Well, but Chivas is a whole other can of worms, which...
Well, it's going to have to be the team is sold and rebranded.
Right.
The anti-white lawsuits, I can't believe you're actually saying that.
There's three of them now. I do believe the league's in a position where they're going to take over Chivas USA. Now, whether they move them to San Diego, I think it would be awesome if they renamed them the Chupacabras because Chivas is the goats. It would be awesome if they become the goat suckers.
I'm good with that.
San Diego would get them out of L.A. but still keep them in Southern California. San Diego is a nice community. You know,
they have the support for soccer there, too.
Right. I could see that happening, but basically, there's only two slots left, and there are about eight cities vying for those two slots.
That's probably a fair number. You're looking at San Antonio.
San Antonio, who's doing great in the NASL.
And doing everything they're supposed to be doing.
Got a stadium going that's expandable up to the 20,000 seats. Got a big money ownership, and they are showing that they can draw. That would be the third team in Texas, so that might be a consideration. But they're proving what they have to prove. You've got Atlanta, the Blanks. The
Silverbacks are playing there right now.
But the Falcons owner wanting to build a new stadium in Atlanta, wanting to do it like Seattle that is capable of holding professional soccer as well as professional football. Atlanta, another Southeast team. If they get Miami and Orlando, might be nice to have another team that.
Short range
for rivalries and DC, yeah, kind of link that whole area together. Minnesota.
Wait, hold on. If it was the NHL, they'd call it the Western Division.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
Minnesota.
The Vikings also want to spend some money. They've got the Minnesota United up there in NASL right now.
Who are doing things right?
Great, great supporters in the Dark Clouds. You know, no, they're great.
They're awesome. They piss people off the best way possible.
Their motto is, we follow you everywhere you go. The Dark Clouds, you know, they're great. Love them. And so they're proving it. You've also got, let's see, Detroit. I mean, as funny...
Whoever thought we'd say Detroit as an up-and-coming town?
As funny as it sounds, I know Detroit just went bankrupt, and there's like four neighborhoods in the 20 most dangerous neighborhoods in the world.
I actually buy Detroit this week.
Yeah.
I found some change in my couch.
Their NPSL team is going gangbusters, which is technically the same level of the soccer pyramid as the PDL, the Lions, but they are professionals.
So they're paid a little bit.
But their crowds are huge.
And not only that, but the supporters groups are well organized. They're,
yeah,
again, you know, whatever we have going, they have going too.
Yes. So, I mean, Detroit is on the list. Sacramento has just started another USL Pro team that has ambition.
I think they might get hurt due to that California thing right now.
Could be, but they also could be a rival for San Jose and, you know, again, linking the Pacific Northwest coast together a little more. Oklahoma City, which is a strange thing to say, but there's legal battles going on in New York, in Oklahoma City, because there's an NASL team and a USL Pro team, and they've got enough support for both. I mean,
that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It really is embarrassing.
So one of those teams, whichever one is ahead whenever this happens, they have designs on keep moving up the ladder.
Yeah, and they already have soccer-specific stadiums in plan. And it's,
they've got ownerships with money.
Two ownerships.
Right.
And here we sit. We have, you know, Enterprise and Build-A-Bear and all these companies.
Twitter.
He has
a link to St. Louis. I mean,
and actually, he's moving back, I heard.
No, there,
that's true.
Yeah.
But that's the point. We have these people that have a lot of money, Worldwide Technologies, that are sitting on it.
So
they're not putting it back into the city. And yes, that probably is a bigger metropolitan issue than it is a soccer issue. But I think it's a coverall for the state of affairs right now. If they're not putting the money into the city, they're not going to put it into a soccer team. And the thing that really upsets me the most is that one of the things I've heard for a while, and I had it reinforced recently, a soccer-specific stadium isn't just soccer-specific. It is also a concert venue. And that's where these guys make a shit ton of money, is on these concerts.
And St. Louis needs a new outdoor concert venue. I mean, nobody wants to play Riverport anymore.
But that's the point. You know, it's like, you know, it's not just about the soccer. It's about the concert venues. And they're still not doing it. I mean, flat out, anybody that has a concert venue and has Ticketmaster, you're going to make a lot of money. And they're not doing it. So we've got concerns. And
so
shit's not together.
Yeah, basically what we're saying is, until we get that ownership group, we don't have that box checked, and until we get that box checked, we're not going to get the stadium box checked.
Yeah.
Now, if we had motivated and rich owners who could push a stadium proposal through, St. Louis might jump to the top of all those cities listed.
In a heartbeat, I think.
But
until we
get that money, we got no shot.
And for all his faults in the last situation, the way the MLS had teased us with Jeff Cooper.
They used Cooper. They used Cooper to get what they wanted.
I think a lot of people are going to stop and take that into is this really something we want to do?
Yeah.
I think right now, to finally come around to answering the question, our chances today are slim. Our hope right now is probably a USL Pro, an NASL team.
I would love that level soccer. Either Glavin's group at the Lions gets some investors to come in and help take them to the pro level, or, like you said, an NASL team, which those franchise fees aren't cheap either.
No, they're building too.
It's a big investment for anybody that wants to bring soccer to St. Louis.
And the thing is, too, is that it's an investment. There's not a lot of established facilities that you can renovate to upgrade.
Right.
Soccer park cannot hold 15,000 people.
And they just turfed it, basically. Yeah,
it's over there.
Which makes sense for what they're using the facility for with St. Louis Scott Gallagher. But if they want a soccer specific stadium in St. Louis, they want grass. They want a nice field, and like you said, they want.
Well, you have to have the facilities. You have to have
right.
the parking. You have
right.
to have the accessibility. Soccer park is not accessible. It's an impossible place right. to get into.
And increasingly, they're wanting urban stadiums. I mean, it's not always possible, and I'm not saying it's completely out of the question if we built a stadium somewhere else.
But it's more attractive.
Right.
I mean, putting it out in Earth City is not what MLS wants. It's not what NASL wants.
And here, and let's go ahead and raise this issue. Kroenke's name always gets brought up. Look, Kroenke has, obviously he owns Arsenal. He owns the Rams. He owns the Rapids in MLS. He owns the Avalanche.
Well, technically he does.
Well, yeah, he found a loophole to get around that.
He gave it to his son or something, daughter.
But anyway, I don't see Kroenke putting a team in St. Louis. And the other aspect of that is MLS is trying to get away from the single ownership. They're trying to get away from teams being owned by the same guy. The Hunt family just divested. They used to have Dallas, Kansas City, and Columbus. They just sold Columbus. They sold Kansas City when the rebrand took place, so they're down to Dallas. MLS doesn't want teams owned by the same people. It can look like a conflict of interest. I don't think they would want Kroenke. Now, I'm not saying if he showed up tomorrow with, you know, $10 billion and says, I want a team, they wouldn't do it.
But they'd look for a plan for him to exit Colorado or here
right.
at some point.
So, I mean, for those people that keep saying Kroenke, I wouldn't put my hopes on that. Now, like I said, somebody shows up tomorrow with $1 billion, says, I want a team in St. Louis, it could happen.
Yeah. If there's one thing, MLS is a smart business company. They're not going to turn down free cash.
And I think that if you want to blame Garber and MLS for anything, maybe blame them for not trying to find MLS an ownership group like they did in New York. They obviously wanted a team in New York. They did everything they could to attract people to invest in that. Same thing in Florida. I think they want a team in Florida, you know.
There's an agenda being.
Right. If they decided we need to help St. Louis get a team, I think they could, but
we're not a priority.
We're not a priority.
And one of the main reason being is everything we just said earlier. If there's other cities that are coming with their shit together, why put out effort? Why turn down a
fee? Yeah,
why work when somebody else will do the work for you?
So I think in the long run, our options for USL Pro and NASL are better. And I think it actually wouldn't hurt us. I mean, if you look at the last several teams that have gone to MLS, we're talking Montreal Impact, Vancouver Whitecaps, Portland, Seattle, Orlando.
Orlando coming.
They were all either USL Pro or NASL, have a long history of support, and kind of built their way up to it.
Hmm. Building your way up to it. I feel like that's something we say fairly often, Brad.
Yeah. I mean, again, come out and support the Lions. Maybe we'll show investors that it's worth Pro or NASL.
And I do think it is one thing that I do want to credit ourselves with is that as a group, we're doing those things. There are a lot of people doing those things. This past weekend, we were on with the Inter Milan Real Madrid game. We were on Fox 2 News.
Right.
They interviewed us. They, you know, did a great thing.
They interviewed you.
I wasn't going to toot my own horn, but
go ahead.
Was awesome.
Toot it.
Toot. And Shannon. Shannon did.
Shannon was there too.
One question. And she was the eye candy compared to me.
That's right.
But they interviewed us. They showed us, you know, tailgating. They asked us questions. You know, there's that visibility there. It's we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We need to continue doing this. It's hard to ignore people. I hear a lot of people say, oh, I want to be the next Sons of Ben. There is no next Sons of Ben.
We're doing it. I mean, that's what we're doing.
Yes. Are we, you know, organizing, you know, bake sales? No. Not that they did. But you know what I mean. You know, they were in a different position 6 years ago, 7 years ago, whatever it is now. Where that kind of action
got results. Well, hey, MLS franchise cost $20 million back then. Now they're $70
million. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, anybody that wants to use Sons of Ben as your example, that's the counter.
Right.
$50 million. Now, granted, I don't have $50 on me.
Right.
But, you know, that's a huge difference because it's not just the $50 million you have to buy. It's what you now have to have in reserve.
No, and you have to have a $100,000 stadium.
$1 billion.
Well, that's sorry. Yeah,
I was going to say I can get
$100 million.
$1,000 stadium.
Right, $100 million stadium. You so,
know, the price of everything has gone up significantly in that time frame.
So, if you want to be the Sons of Ben, come out and join the Lulligans. I mean,
we're doing it.
We're doing it in a multifaceted way. We've got Luligans who come out to all the games. We've got some that just come out to the indoor games. We've got some that just come out to the outdoor games. We've got some that organize watch parties on TV. You know, no matter what you're into, you could be that kind of Luligan.
And that's something we're saying, too, because, you know, we met all these new people that weekend, and it was amazing. I mean, it really was. I want to thank everybody that came out again.
And if you're listening to this podcast for the first time, thanks for listening.
Yeah, and go back and listen to the old ones. Hopefully we won't offend you too terribly much.
The fire and ice ones are kind of a mess. You could skip those.
They're a hot mess. And to be honest, we are drinking in a lot of them. We're not drinking today. I have to coach this afternoon, and Brad's on a drinking hiatus.
I'm trying sober for a while.
And we'll be taking bets at how long that lasts later on as well.
Yeah, well, you know.
But you know, I mean, there's the people doing things, and if you came out and you're like, man, I don't know where I fit in, there's a way to fit in. You can find something. Now, don't come to us and say, we should sell canned coolies at the next event. Give me $100 so I can make this happen. It's not how it works.
Yeah.
How it works is showing up. We don't ask money. We don't ask for membership fees or any of that bullshit that a lot of people do. We just say, come out. And
come out and have fun.
It's mostly about the fun. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that will comment online, and that's great.
And then when we do things like the tailgate party, there are areas for you to step up and do your thing.
Bring a bag of chips, you know.
Paint a banner.
Just even say, how can I help? What do you guys need?
Right.
It's not hard. We never say, well, we need to build a camera tower.
Right.
So we need, you know, building permits and steel work.
You know, everybody's got different talents, and whatever you bring to the table will be utilized appropriately. I mean, you know.
Is that sexual?
I think it was, but that's not how I meant it.
Is there a sawhorse around?
So I hope that answers your question. No Twitter Tim.
That's such a great name.
I would love an MLS team. I would love to be doing that every weekend.
I was even saying earlier, I'd even be happy with that.
The division. Right. The NPSL.
Yes.
There's too many acronyms.
NPSL, WPSL.
PASL.
Yeah, this is getting bad. Start coming up with better names.
But I think ideally pro soccer at any level, be that USL Pro, NASL, MLS, we want whatever we can get. And whatever we get, we'll be out there supporting because that's what we do.
Wow. That was a way.
You like that?
That was good.
All right, the other big question that came to us on Twitter was from Nick Johnson. He wanted us to cover high school soccer and specifically Francis Howell. Nick, we'd love to, but there just is a limit to the time and information we can hold in our heads. There are so many
We can hold information in our heads.
There are so many good local high school and or college teams in the St. Louis area.
Even just start with the best example is that, you know, Jeff Drake, you know, friend to the Lil against his dad is Vince Drake, and we don't even have time to cover that.
Hall of Fame, coach.
You know, it's a difficult thing. But that also is a great pat on the back to St. Louis that we have that many good soccer high schools and club teams and building up things, although we do support the boys eight-year-old team at St. Joe's Manchester.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I want you to support whatever soccer there is. If you're in high school or if you just enjoy going to high school games, get a group together and make it fun.
Well, it's funny you mention that because as I was driving around the other day, I live in Fenton, which is the Rockwood Summit school district, and the Rockwood Summit High School has a supporters group.
There you go.
And it's the 026, which is the school code.
Yeah.
That you like when you put in your taxes and stuff like that. It's like the 026 Army or something like that. And I'm seeing these stickers on the back of the cars and stuff.
That's
and
awesome. Like,
it is because you're starting that concept early. So you go through that 026 Army or whatever your high school's version is.
Right.
And then, okay, well, now I'm out of high school. Now I go to college.
I know SLU's got, I'm going to mess up the number. It's like the 1896 region or legion or I don't know. But SLU has a little group that they're starting. And so here's the thing, Nick. If you want to start a group for Francis Howell or any other high schools out there, send us a message on Twitter or Facebook, and we'll promote you guys. We'll let others in your area know what you're doing, and
Legion 1818.
I knew it was something like that.
Thank you, interwebs.
Yeah, please support your local colleges, your local high schools. St. Louis, as always, has a long history of developing quality players, and you know the next great player is out there somewhere.
And it's also worth mentioning too is that you know go ahead and you know even though you're a high school student or you're just out of high school or you have a child that's in high school, go ahead and reach out to the local news channels. Tell them that you want them to cover these things. You know, we were lucky enough with the Fox 2 thing that Andy Banker. Don't know why I confused that. But, you know, he just literally walked up that he was told, hey, go down there and find somebody.
Yeah.
And we got real lucky that way. But now, you know, we've had the Post-Dispatch reached out to us and had a guy come out and cover. You know, you can reach out to them as well. Say, hey, cover this. You know,
right.
That's what Lindsay did with Channel 5. And they came out and covered the fire and ice. Tell them you want them to cover, not just Frank Cusimano talking about DeSmet basketball. You know, show them that soccer is viable. And I know there's a mindset amongst a lot of those, the media types that, you know, it's soccer. That's what the kids do. And then they quit. And then the rest of it is shit I don't understand because they don't wear pads.
Right.
You know, that's, you know, tell them it's different. Reach out to them. Let them know. Show them that we're here. That's all it takes. You know.
And if you want our help as far as organizing, I mean, we don't do a lot of organizing and we just throw parties. But I mean, you know, if you have any questions, please feel free to contact us.
Ideas, whatever. We can come up with ideas all day long. We just, if you have a Kickstarter you want to get going that pays for our ideas, we support that.
Yeah, if you want to pay us, that's awesome. But no, but seriously, we totally encourage you to support your local high school, your local college, and we will give you shout outs. We will tell people, you know, there's games going on if you forward that information to us. So hit us on Twitter or Facebook with that kind of stuff.
And keep it up. That's good to even hear that there's that interest already starting. That's
exactly
the
yeah.
thought process is in the right place.
And then you can be a Luligan whenever it's a Luligan event. But, you know, you don't. That's not the only group you can.
You don't have to be 21.
Yeah. We'll
give beer to minors. Oh, wait.
Stop.
Sorry. No. My son came out with us to the last one.
We have kids with us all the time. Right.
I mean, granted, part of it was Rocco telling him to do illegal things.
Right.
That's never a good idea. Okay, what else is on our agenda?
I've got one more thing on our agenda. Do you have anything else to talk about?
Are you going to propose to me?
No, that's not it. No, I'm going to talk about in this lull in between outdoor and indoor season. Obviously, today is a big day for soccer fans who enjoy watching soccer on TV.
Real
season doesn't start till Monday for Mitch when Newcastle loses to City.
Shut your pie hole. How'd Arsenal do?
Oh, yeah, Arsenal didn't do so well. But anyway, we've all got our favorite EPL teams and MLS teams for that matter. I just want to let people know who are maybe joining us for the first time, some places to go to watch soccer on TV.
Not your house.
Not my house. You can't come to my house. I don't care. But
will they take your dog away?
Maybe. There are four, there's more than four, but there's four great soccer bars that I want to mention that have worked with the Luligans or that we endorse.
McDonald's, Burger King.
No, the first one is obviously Amsterdam. Everybody's favorite soccer bar here in St. Louis. They usually have something going on for all the big matches. It's the home of American Outlaws for USA games. Amsterdam Tavern. It's in the Tower Grove area. You know, great place to watch a game. Other place, Tegeen, downtown. Our friend Jen works there. They've hosted parties with us before. Irish Bar.
Jen actually knows how to pour a Guinness properly.
They know how to pour a Guinness properly. And so if you're in the downtown area, Tegeen's a great place to watch a match.
Right across from the Dome. So if there's another event at the Dome, it's a good place to start off or end up.
And then the other two are both in Clayton. Barristers. We've used Barristers several times.
Very Luligan friendly.
Friends with the owners there. We've had a couple scarf parties there. Always great to work with. And a new place, I don't know how new it is, but Basso, it's also in Clayton there. It's in the basement of the Cheshire Inn, and they are really marketing now. They want to have more soccer games, so they're going to be having a special menu just for soccer mornings and opening early. So those are four great places to check out.
Is the menu beer?
The menu does include beer.
That would be a
lots of beer. So if you're either new to the area or if you're just new to the group looking for a place to find other soccer fans, all four of those, I would highly recommend going and watching a match.
And then there's a lot of other facilities that have been always friendly to us. The Three Kings Pub in the Loop. They're big fans. They have some scarves hanging from us. And
Exit 6 Pub in or St. Brewery in St. Chuck.
Or I guess that's actually Cottleville. You know, we've gone to the ITAP.
They usually open too late to to show the games, but
you know, there's a lot of places that will go like that, and you know,
and the main thing about the four Basso, Amsterdam, Tegeen, and Barristers, there's usually Luligans at those places. So if you're looking for a place to hook up with Luligans, you know, just, and I don't mean that sexually, Mitch. You looked at me like, you know, hook up with Luligans.
I was gonna say,
Maybe I don't know.
Do they have sawhorses?
Maybe so. You can always hit us on Twitter or Facebook to see where people are going to be to watch a match if you're wanting to meet up in St. Louis and watch a match with people.
Wow. And so, match.
Match.com.
Match.
So that's a lot of information we've
well, it's because we haven't had a podcast in like 6 months.
I know. It'll probably be a while. The next one will probably be either the Paisa or the Ambush.
We'll probably try to do one September.
We might.
Well,
we'll see how it goes.
I think we should just take a recorder with us when we're drinking and use that as a podcast.
We could do that. As always, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and you'll know when the next podcast is about to drop.
If you have questions, if you have thoughts, you can reach us at those two. info@stluligans.com is the email.
The website, www.stluligans.com.
Actually, it's also luligans.com.
That
became available recently, so I went ahead and grabbed it.
Yes.
That's how we roll, bitches.
And sweatymans.com. Do we have that one yet?
We should, between me and Brown.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sweaty mans. So anyway, I think that's all I've got for today. What about you, Mitch?
No, I'm pretty good.
Okay.
Let's see. Covered what we did.
Talked about soccer.
What's coming up. Covered Arsenal losing today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. Sorry. Chelsea's going to lose tomorrow.
Hope so.
And Newcastle will win on Monday. So it'll be a good day.
All right.
All right, cool.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will see you later on the interwebs.
Adios.